Can you hear me?
Yes.
I will wait for Ben. Well,
I don't. I mean, yes, I'll save it for the show. But yeah, we need Ben in here. Like, I wanted to be like, you know what? Can we start at 8:30? Can you leave volleyball early?
I lost the thread. Is Seth joining us today or not?
I don't think so. We never gave him the link. He started talking about something else, so I just let it go. I'm fine either way. I just don't want, like, especially now.
Yeah.
Three guys complaining about a show turning to four guys complaining about a show.
But it would be funny if we did.
I think it's so tough, and I really wish Ben were in here. Because, like, I want to... I'm coming from a standpoint of storytelling, not subject matter.
Yes.
And the tweet response...
I haven't looked. I'm going in blind.
Oh, well, don't make me read it on air. At least pop it open on your screen so you can, like, have it at the ready.
When the time comes. Or you can, like, summarize, or you can whatever.
Right.
Because it has to be addressed. Like, you have to bring people up to speed. I mean, I don't really know how many listeners we're getting in the show right now. But, I mean, you have to give context, right? Like, if it's going to be addressed.
Right. Right. But I'm saying... Yeah, I guess so. What I'm saying is, while I summarize, if you can read it yourself in full, you'll be caught up.
Okay, great.
Because otherwise, I freeze up when I try to read out loud.
Okay. Yeah, just summarize. Come on. I guess I should adjust the blinds, even though it's just too bright behind me. I look like I'm in witness protection.
There's a movie called Witness Protection, right? Was it Pauly Shore or something?
Is it Witness Protection, or is it like Witless Protection?
Oh. Like
B-O-R-E-D, I don't know.
It's like more of a Baldwin brother movie. Let's see.
I'm
you gonna look it up?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Witless Protection does sound...
Well, but I was making that. Oh, there's Medea's Witness Protection, 2012. There's Witness Protection, 1999, Tom Sizemore and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
There's like a drama.
Witness Protection in 2017, Yancey Butler and Karis Cameron.
Oh, no. What I'm thinking is like a dumb comedy.
Well, Medea, right?
But like, I mean... Like from like late 90s, like Rob Schneider.
Don't have him start tweeting at you too. Witless Protection is a movie.
Okay.
Would you like to guess who's in it?
One Pauly Shore.
Not Pauly. But that's good. One is primarily a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
And the other is an anti-vax nut job.
Jenny McCarthy,
that's correct.
And Paul McCartney.
And Paul McCartney. That's right.
Mostly a stand-up comedian.
He's mostly a stand-up comedian. However, most of his cinematic exploits have been voice acting. However, this comedian has appeared as an actor in live action features, but I mean nothing more substantial than Witless Protection.
Huh. Carrot Top.
It is Carrot Top. No,
is
it's
it?
Larry the Cable. Yeah, it's Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, that makes sense. Ben, are you familiar with Witless Protection?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that sounds familiar.
Right. But
is it like Larry the Cable Guy or?
Yes.
So yes, I guess the answer is yes. I am.
And not looking at the screen, so I don't know if you were on when we were previously discussing the cast.
I was not.
Oh well, good for you, Ben. This is why we need you here earlier, so that you could help us cut to the chase on shitty movies,
classic
and shitty Larry TV shows,
vehicles,
if those exist.
I don't know if they do.
I don't think they do either.
If there's a shitty TV show, I've never heard of it.
This is true, because production is hard. It's a challenging thing. We know people in production, so. Everybody gets at least a C plus for effort. We're not going to put this in the show, by the way.
Ben, are you eating Carl's Jr.?
No, unfortunately. Oh, not unfortunately. Okay. No. I'm happy with
this
what I got.
This is my one non-Carl's meal of the week.
Recording in progress.
Got it. No, today it's McDonald's.
Okay.
It was convenient and I wanted to.
I just needed to know if there's going to be do toy talk.
Well, they're—I mean, they are giving away 50 different types of toys as part of the Happy Meals. I don't know if Dorothy June has,
which is insane,
capitalized on it.
Yeah.
It's really dumb, and Mad Madam Mim is nowhere to be seen in the collection.
A man,
dude, what was that?
A man, a man,
Mad Madam Mim.
Oh, okay.
She's the. It's just I'm trying to pick a semi-obscure Disney character. She's the witch in Sword of the Stone.
Sword of the Stone. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm lucky.
I also had McDonald's.
Oh, I can tell. Oh. Yeah. I figured they must have a pretty deep bench for those toys because the two we got were Bambi and Dale. So that implies to me.
Here's how the supply chain was working. We were doing pretty good on getting a few of those toys. And then, by the way, Ralph, can we get the bumper, please?
I did it.
You did it. We're in Toy Talk right now.
Yeah. I did it as a question mark.
Toy Talk?
It was still done.
Okay, great. Sorry. But because there were, if you remember early pandemic, there were supply chain issues. So, like, we were getting Emoji Movie toys that were like 2 years old and everything like that. No problem. It was fine. We were grateful to have everything because everything was locked down and stuff. But it kind of reared its head again. They started substituting in the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway toys from over a year ago in the middle of all the other ones.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody will notice. We'll just throw give them stick with your wife.
Oh, give me a second here. Okay, I'm fine. I was at McDonald's today, as you know, getting my breakfast. And I saw the poster for the toys, and yeah, there's like it was galling how many toys they clearly had.
It seems like a lot, and I mean, there's people I follow on Twitter. It's like I've got 37 of the whatever. It's like, man,
wow, in a row.
I can't. I didn't even think about that. It's overwhelming, and we don't do that. We go max once a week, and that's fair. I don't, because their food is garbage, with the exception of breakfast, which is delicious. But I can't eat that because if I do, they're going to take my legs. So I got to eat healthy. So.
Yeah.
Does anybody like to share anything to kick off the start of our episode today?
It's bizarre, dude. It's bizarre.
Boy, you really did it, Charlie Brown.
Boy.
Yeah.
I tweeted out to my followers that I couldn't stand Why the Last Man, the television show. You know.
Fair enough.
So I put it on this morning, and I was literally like 5 minutes in, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I feel like watching the rest of this episode. So maybe I just let the guys know on air that,
that we're free to move on.
Yeah.
That's fair. And, I'm not going to make you watch something.
Right.
That's not what this is about, you know?
But I tweeted that I couldn't stand the show. It's just been, diminishing returns. as they say for me. But within like a half hour, something like that, I get a tweet response.
Oh, that's good, from like Kirk Francis or something like that.
One of your followers?
Was it me? Did I respond to it? I haven't looked at these tweets yet. I've just heard tale.
It was a person I don't know, and she offered her opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Clearly a fan of the show, somebody that is going to search for that show in Twitter to see what people are talking about.
Sure.
But she said she was the showrunner for the show.
Important.
Yeah, and you got to feel like at a moment you're thinking, well, I was just sort of talking about my opinion. I didn't want to go and shit on somebody's work necessarily.
Right, right. There's a lot of things out there.
Did you?
There's a lot. I have many opinions on the internet.
That's right.
Sure. Yesterday there was the Batman trailer, which I thought, even though I'm fucking sick and tired of all the Batmans, right, I thought the trailer looked really good.
Yeah, you came in pro on that. You came in pro on the Flash, right?
Yeah, all male driven storylines.
No,
but what I'm saying is there's a lot of things I like. There's a lot of things I don't like. And I just don't happen to like the show,
right,
to the point where I just can't stand it. And that's what I wrote. I can't stand the show. And every time I come at the show, it's from a storytelling standpoint. And that's been my whole thing on Darmalars. So we did Sweet Tooth, and it went great. I love the show, and we had a lot of fun things to talk about. And then we were kind of thinking of what we want to do next. And some anthology shows were tossed around, like What If, but I feel like the Darmalars is great for serialized dramas.
Right, where we can
theorize.
Yeah. Theorize.
And sort of kind of like discover the show as it goes, like we did originally with Lost.
Right.
So why The Last Man seemed like the perfect fit based on a comic series that's beloved. I hadn't read the book, but you had, much like Sweet Tooth. Like, it was like the perfect setup. And right, I had super high hopes for the show. I'm very excited because I've heard nothing but good things about the comic. And, not to drag you into it, but based on what you know, it's not like the comic.
No, that's true.
And it was, and for me, from a storytelling standpoint, it just isn't doing it for me. And I've mentioned this since episode 2.
Yes.
Why The Last Man, is that there's a gap of 63 days that we missed. And I feel like a lot of important stuff could happen in there. So the response from the showrunner was, she quoted a tweet of hers that was a thread, because the question was posed, why is Why the Last Man so post-apocalyptic so soon? And she posted a thread of all the things that would go wrong, like in the real world, like studies have shown this, and they had a scientist of some sort that said that this is kind of how it would happen, which I say, awesome.
Right.
Put it in the show so I'm not asking the questions.
Yeah.
Or not. I mean, people can choose to tell whatever story they want to tell.
Well, and that's the point.
However,
they told the story this. They told the story this way. And from Ralph's perspective, it didn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work for Ralph. It doesn't work for me. Ben,
I'm a lot more forgiving. I'm always
you're the kind one.
You're
the kind Darmalar.
I've said for a while that no one ever does actually ask my opinion on like a movie or a TV show because the point? I'm going to say I liked it,
Right.
It's okay. We'll ask you.
They with the trouble to make it, then I'm in. Like, good job, guys.
Right.
But you're right. Like, I barely skimmed the thread. I didn't get into any of it, and it seems very depressing because it seems like we are, 63 days away from this in the real world, which I believe it. I haven't read any of the underlying stuff, but I believe it. It's something about, the way we operate now is just in time. You barely get things before you need them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And major disruption to the supply chain would obviously cause everything to crumble. So, yeah, I get that it could be justified, but it seems to me that if you have to explain why it's real, or could be real, then it's because maybe we didn't infer that. You know, we didn't understand that. I have not studied, you know, world-ending logistics.
Mm-hmm. Now, I, at risk of incurring the wrath, I have intentionally not looked at the Twitter thread because I wanted to be surprised in the course. I wanted to be discover along with, you know, however many people are listening, like along with you, like what this is all about. So I have some insight, wrapped it a screen cap and sent it to Ben and me. I would take it back even further. I feel like I kind of alluded to this in the last episode, and this is going to be the fourth time that I'm saying this, but I feel like because we weren't proper, from my point of view, since we weren't properly introduced in the characters and not given like a clear thread, at least for me, that was just all these things that were happening very quickly, and there wasn't a lot of time for character development, so things were just very like, I don't like you and you don't like me. I'm like this and you're like that. And a lot of the, and so really what it comes down to is when these story elements have to happen, which are fantastical fictional story elements, were, at least for me, I'm not connected to anybody to have any sort of suspension of disbelief because I don't really, I'm not connecting with any of the characters. The characters don't seem to be connecting with each other. Like they're in scenes together and there's exposition back and forth, but like everything just the tone seems so, and we could get into specifics for the episode. So for me, I think that's why, if I can project onto you guys, like I think that that's why we're picking up on like, why is it like this and why is it like that? Where I think if we were emotionally invested in kind of following along with everything, it was just like, it's fiction. It's fine. It's whatever.
Right.
That dog's riding a horse. Sure. It's the end times. Shit like that happens. But I feel like was the fatal flaw in like the first 15 minutes of the first episode. And I feel like that's the root cause to everything. My point of view.
One of the tweet responses was that, that she liked different people tell different types of stories. She doesn't like to present everything at once and likes to sprinkle stuff in. But wants to sprinkle in the information as time goes on and you get it from context clues and stuff. That's fine. I was just talking to Stevie before we jumped on the mics. We liked Lost because it was interesting. We knew we weren't getting all of the specifics, but it was the characters that were interesting and well-written that kept us motivated. And we knew that the situation was bad and that we would discover what was going to be happening or what was happening while the characters discovered it. And I don't think Y does that. Y just takes out a big chunk of time that's probably crucial. I got a response from somebody who found this thread through this, through the showrunner. And he said, you know, a lot of people just like dismiss grief and that, and that you don't realize that in 63 days, there's so much grief that this, you know, this is how things would end up because there's so much grief, from everybody in the world with family and friends and stuff like that. And then mentioned that he had once broke it up with his girlfriend and he was in bed for 3 days because of grief. My thing is his story would continue 60 days later after he was in bed 3 days. And there's a lot of stuff that you miss in that time. And what has been presented to us after these 63 days in this story is complete mayhem. Watching this episode, the first thing that jumped to mind was who put these roadblocks up in Boston and why? Who put these fences up in Boston and why? Why do we have so much propaganda?
Right.
If we're having trouble manufacturing food, right, where is this paper coming from? If the supply chains are down, where's the paper coming from? Or if power is out, what Kinko's are you able to print these flyers at?
Yeah, and even beyond that, the Tim, you're right. Like the practicality, the physical aspects of making all the Jennifer Brown posters and pasting them up everywhere. But also, to me, the motivation behind it. So somehow we all know that she's president now. Somehow that information got out. Right. And we are mad about that. But I don't know why. Like, I have not seen, I have not seen why these people are protesting. Are they saying that she did it? It's again, and, it's read in. We don't know what.
And maybe that is, and this is one of the other challenges I have with the show is that I feel like things like that, there's a lot of things that I think leverage our current experience with people trying to steal the government and what it's like to have a pandemic and everything like that. I'm bringing a lot of my feelings and my experiences to kind of understand those things. It's leveraging that, and that could be intentional or not, but I feel like that's probably more of, I mean, I don't mean to prescribe or anything like that, but I feel like there's other ways that storytelling happens that make me think that it's just, I'm doing the heavy lifting because there's, I think it's so funny that, and maybe there's other elements like why the barricades are up and everything like that, that those are the peppered pieces of information that we'll slowly discover. Because on the flip side, everything is told. Everybody tells you something. That's, everything is dialogue. Everything, there's no discovery. It's the opposite of that. And the scene with the scientist, Agent 355, and why, it's just all dialogue. Like, it's, this scene is about me telling you this thing, so I'm going to tell you this thing right now, rather than we're going to converse about other things and slowly have things fall in. And again, people don't have to tell stories the way that I want stories to be told.
Oh, well, absolutely.
And that's fine. That's fine. I also don't have to like the way that the story is being told. Like,
that's absolutely true. Yeah.
It's exactly. So, and then compounding that is just that I don't know why this popped in my head. I've been watching a lot of Wings lately because there's a Wings channel on Pluto TV, and I leave the television on for my dog sometimes.
That's but good why, storytelling.
What? No, but York has had seriously Steven Weber Wings vibes. He was like monologuing to himself. Like, it all felt like he was in a sitcom. Somebody else was in a soap opera. And the scientist was totally giving me like Cecily Strong Weekend Update, the girl you wish you had. Like, the government has conspiracy. It's like, and all these energies don't work together, and they're just shouting exposition back and forth at each other. It's the opposite of laying a breadcrumb trail to discover. And it's about characters that I don't care about because they were never set up to care about. I feel like we keep on going into the weeds trying to like prescribe, like, oh, if it was this, and how come we don't know this? It's like, we shouldn't even be thinking about that stuff. We should be enjoying the story as it unfolds to us because we're interested in the characters and we feel like they're in peril,
right,
and all this sort of stuff. And none of that's happening. So we're worrying about why is that barricade there and what's paper supply chain? We shouldn't even be talking about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right.
That
might be like a funny thing that we throw in like 5 minutes. Like, I don't know where they got that paper from. But anyway, I can't wait to tune in next week. It's just not happening. And I feel like we keep on getting mired in the minutia. And it's just like, this isn't for us. The storytelling isn't the way we like storytelling. It's a shame because this is a good story. I feel like we're not alone. I don't see why as a trending topic before each episode drops. I don't see the theories being bandied about. I don't like, it's not us not getting it, I don't think. And if it is, then we're not alone. And hopefully 20 years from now, we'll get appreciation for it, like in some Andy Kaufman sort of way where it's like, oh, now I get it. Like 23 years from now. But like, I just don't enjoy the show. And I really am trying to put the filter on of, is this some deep-rooted social misogyny that I have? And it's like manifesting itself in the lack of the show. And like, I'm really trying to challenge myself socially. It's like, no, it's just bad dialogue and really incongruent performances. Good performances, but like, that don't belong in the same scene with each other. It's a shame. That's where I'm going to say, I don't want to talk about supply chains anymore. I don't want to talk about power and Transformers and any of that stuff. We shouldn't be thinking about that. We should be concerned about the characters in the story, and we're not there. And I give up. And I'm sorry that we upset anybody by us not getting it. Like, I also want to throw out that I'm saying this. I'm not even the fucker who tweeted this shit out. But anyway, but like, I feel I can will never pretend to understand completely or to have the knowledge of what production is like. But I think we have enough friends in production and female above the line friends in production to know that it's unimaginably challenging to put something together and really, really hard. And I don't want to discount that. Like, I get that. And I get having pride and passion in your work. I think that's great. I don't like this. I've done my due diligence to make sure I don't have any social blind spots on why I don't like this. I just don't like bad dialogue. And I'll say it again, the fucking Love Boat introduction in the first 15 minutes where it's like, oh, here they are.
Here's this person and here's their character trait.
I actually went back and watched some Fantasy Island episodes after this just like to cut like as a palate cleanser. It's like, oh, this isn't the right show for this sort of format. Stupid Aaron Spelling shit. Great.
Well, you know, it's like you said, we acknowledge that it's hard work and a lot of people did a lot of stuff to make this come together. And, you know, sometimes you work really hard at something and it just it's not for everybody.
You know? And it's so subjective and so whatever. It's I don't like it. I never
liked Jag. That doesn't mean Jag wasn't well done or good or whatever, successful. I just never particularly liked
it. I mean, it was a different level of success, right? Like, how do you measure success? It's like being on for 37 years and having nobody under 50 realizing that your show is on.
It's a strange mixture of success. I'd say keep doing a show has got to count for something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I have spoken more in the past 10 minutes than I think I have in 12 years of doing the show. I'm sorry.
I should have taken notes too. I feel bad because I'm like, you hit on so many points. I'm like, oh, I'd like to talk about that. But
yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. I was going to make a Transformers joke when he said Transformers. And then he just kept going.
Do you want to do that now?
You said we don't want to talk about power in Transformers. And I was going to say, oh, you mean like Energon cubes? No, that's the power from Transformers.
That's good. That's from Transformers.
Yeah, I brought it up. I brought it up on purpose. I'm glad I did that.
No, it's good. You did good. I like the way you said the thing, and it was like the other thing.
Oh,
yeah. Homophone, so it was good.
It's tough because all this week I was thinking, I'm good with finishing through Why the Last Man.
Right, we're halfway there.
We set out to do this thing, and that's fine. As the week progressed closer and closer to today, I was like, they're getting pretty close in real time because we're a couple episodes behind. They're getting close to being finished with the season, and that's when they would have announced a season two. So that I was like, in my brain was like, the week they announced season two is going to be the last episode of Why the Last Man Darmalars. Like, if they announced it this week, I would have said, I can't do another season.
Can't do it. I can't do it for season two.
I could do five more. And then this morning, I was 5 minutes into the episode and I turned to Stevie and I'm like, I don't think I want to watch the rest of this episode. Can I still do the Darmalars and not watch the show?
Yeah, as long as we don't say that we're going to talk about this episode, that's fine, you know?
And I watched like half the episodes of Lost, you guys. It's totally doable.
It comes out. The truth comes out.
The tweet stuff happened, and I was told that, you know, the information they like to present the information parsed out in little bits over the entire story. So then I'm like, okay, is this a challenge to make it all the way through the 10 episodes and then be like, see?
Yeah, but
you know, what if it pays off?
But like Ryan said, that you've lost us then, you know? Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care about this show. It feels like homework.
Do you guys remember that show, The Nine? I want to say it was on ABC.
I remember the title.
It didn't get its whole run, I don't think.
German, but right?
The eight.
What's up?
Is it a German show?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was. The premise was, we start the first episode and we see these nine people that throughout what they're doing in their day, they end up in a bank. Actually, Tim Daly was in it, speaking of Wings.
Oh, good. American Treasure.
So they start off in a bank, and then a bank robbery starts. And then we skip to about like 40 hours later. It's been this 40-hour long bank robbery hostage situation.
Okay.
And now throughout the rest of the series, what's going to happen is we're going to learn through flashbacks what happened in that 40 hours. But that's presented to you as what it is. You know that going in. So now you can wait for those breadcrumbs. And you can wait for these dribs and drabs. And it was always fascinating to me because they start, all the nine people start in one position, right? And then at the end, they're all in these other different positions. I think about that a lot when we were talking about Lost. Like, how are we going to get these players in their places?
Mm-hmm. It's Oceanic 6.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's like you see Jack get to the point at the end of season 3?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's like, oh, that's an interesting thing to look forward to.
Right. Whereas with this, it's basically presented on why that those 2 months are gone. And, you know, we're just going to talk about what's happening now.
Yeah.
Which you could get away with. It's like smoke and mirrors, right? Like if you're distracted by characters and emotion and compelling thing, sometimes you could get away with it and then just allude to the before times or the not long ago or whatever. Like, you could do that. It's not, the thing is, we keep on focusing on it because we're looking – we're desperate to get connected to the show somehow. So it's like, well, what do we want? Maybe if we knew about these 60 days, we would feel better about
maybe. And you know what? It's not even that. Honestly, that is something that we've had a problem with. And like you said, that does lead to us looking at like details instead of trying to watch the show. But like you also said, the disconnect and the incongruity, that also makes it hard to watch the show. You know, it's not just us sitting here trying to play fact checkers where we think, no, they'd still have water. No, yes, we focus on that because we can't focus on the other stuff. But it's not just that. You know, also this other stuff. Like Y walks, I don't know how far you made it into the episode, Ralph, but Y walks into the room.
I finished it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. You get to go out for ice cream after now.
Just for the show. This is what
just
I'm doing
for just for our show.
Yeah.
So Y walks into the room with Dr. Man, which they find her on their manhunt. And she goes, hey, you've got a Y chromosome. But what?
Yeah.
Like,
especially why? Especially someone who's in the LGBTQ.
Yeah. She knows community. About a whole cadre of trans men that have testosterone, right? Wasn't she the one telling them about that?
Yeah.
And
he was wearing his Adam Carolla t-shirt, which is, it was kind of hard to see. It was a little dark. That's how she knew.
That's how she knew. Well, she smelled it. She can smell Y chromosomes.
So Y tries to get into that house, right? By picking the lock.
Yes.
355 ends up shooting the door because we have bullets.
Like Tandy.
Like we got exactly, but bullets are readily available.
Yes.
And paper, bullets and paper.
Supply chain.
Here we go.
Did they try knocking first?
God, no. Why would you do that?
Did
you got a 50% chance that nobody's there, right?
Yeah, I think that's the math works out.
I bother. My knuckles hurt today. Let's
kabam.
Just shoot the door.
I'll waste two precious bullets. And we're also trying to be inconspicuous, so this gun won't cause anybody to... Well, I guess the city was full of bullet sounds.
Yeah. Well, everyone walks into a house or a building, all quiet-like, and starts, like, scanning to see if people are in there. I don't want to be ambushed by someone protecting their house. I feel like I would almost, like, yell. Okay. Hey, anyone here?
Hey, doctor, are you here?
Yeah, we're here from the president. You know, it's not a secret.
If someone knocked on my door that I wasn't expecting and then shot the door, I probably wouldn't be in the house anymore. I'd probably skip out the back.
Yeah.
She lost her research.
Because the building burned. We got that from Sergeant Exposition.
And her research is on paper, not on a cloud.
I think it was, she mentioned the software. She mentions that there's a specific software that it took a bunch of Y chromosome people to make, I think she said, which is like, okay. And that they is that that same software exists at the lab in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then so much stuff.
I can like when I got my new computer, I could download software. It still bugs me that there's no power, but a cell phone still has a charge. All that stuff's still bothering me.
Just supply chain. Read the thread.
So
they did the research.
I think that because I feel like this is going to be our last episode of why, right?
I don't know.
Like I was going to ask, like, do you feel like before you felt like giving up on it, but now do you feel challenged that you're going to
feel a little bit?
Occasion?
Oh, I didn't finish my thing. How I went from wanting to pull the plug if they announce a season two, because I'm going to have to do more than 10.
Right.
To not wanting to do this episode after 5 minutes of watching this one, to someone challenging me to get all the information by the last episode.
The best shows require supplemental information. I remember going to the library before every Thursday night to read up on bartending so I can really get into Cheers.
It's
one of those things. There should always be footnotes,
right? a handbook. No, but I think what Ralph is saying, you're right, yes. Ryan. Like that, we shouldn't require any external information other than we already have by existing in this culture. Sure. But I think what Ralph was saying was the challenge of all the pieces are going to come together by the end of the series. Like we're going to be given the storytelling that we think we're missing by. Little pieces, which is like the preferred method of storytelling that they were talking about.
And again, I want to like this show.
Yes.
It'd be easier.
Yeah. And I want to know, like, it's hard because I don't like the characters, but I want to see what happens to them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's just because I wanted to see something happen to them. I don't know. Did 355 say it was going to take him a month to get to Boston?
To get to Boston? Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But it sure took that president lady no time to get from Israel.
Right. She's all the way from Israel here.
Yeah. Cover your sores. Don't leave exposed sores on your arm when you're
That's gross.
It's just gross. We had a question, I think, a couple episodes ago that was answered today, I believe, or I answered on this episode, was that the President Lane, Diane Lane's, I feel bad calling her that now because it's like, now I'm like, feel dismissive of the show and the characters, but.
However, we've done that before.
Characters that you knew the names of, that would be okay. I honestly didn't know Yorick's name was Yorick until like well into it. You kept on calling it. It's like, oh, I guess I missed that because I don't care.
See, I heard the same thing when you said that, Ralph. You said President Lane, and I laughed because that's what we've been calling that character. Alternately, sometimes we call her Jennifer Brown. But then I thought, oh shit, is that problem? Are we being problematic? And the answer is no, because sometimes we just use nicknames for characters on the show, you know?
Yeah, like what would we call Dr. Eyeliner or whatever it was?
Yes, that's right.
What was his name?
I think you got it right. Dr. Eyeliner. Or I don't know about Doctor.
Richard
Alpert. Yeah.
Mr. Carbonell.
Guyliner.
And again, it does have, especially when gender plays such an important thing, like, are we being dismissive when we shouldn't be dismissive? But I still stand by, like, A, I don't remember shit anyway. I don't remember the people that I work with. I do this at work. Like, I do this in Zoom meetings, which is probably very unprofessional. Like, yeah, you know, that guy. The guy who helped us with the thing. Like, I don't remember anybody's name. But, like, also, again, this is the way my brain works. When you introduce me to like 37 characters, oh, I said 37 again. It must be anyway, 26 characters.
Ooh.
My brain has already given up on your show, and I'm not going to remember jack shit. Like, the fact that I said 355 there is, I don't know, some of my synapses are working without my knowledge. I had no idea that information was in there. And I'm like only 30% sure that's correct.
Just like I wouldn't have known that I knew that Larry the Cable Guy was in Witless Protection, but it turns out it was in there. It turns out it was deep and buried in my brain.
So Diane Lane's Jennifer Brown, her assistant
Christine,
has a miscarriage, and we were discussing whether people who are carrying male babies would happen, and I guess it does.
But actually, I think that it turned out that the baby was okay.
Yeah,
She thought she was having a miscarriage, but then the doctor told her that's normal. They did like
and then we can hear the heartbeat,
right? So but it still remains to be seen if she's carrying a baby with a Y chromosome or not. But maybe if they could get Dr. Mann in there and tell us, because she knows right away.
What's your man got to do with me?
There was a throwaway bit where, like, they Yorick made reference to the tuna fish sandwich joke. Did you catch that?
No, he what was
said
it?
Something about, oh, I'll tell you the tuna fish sandwich joke, and then we don't get to hear it. So it's it reminds me a little bit of what did the snowman say to the other snowman?
Oh yeah,
which would pay
that off later. So maybe we'll get the.
It's gonna be it's gonna be the last episode. Like as they're walking across the tarmac, like the end of Casablanca. It's like,
right.
You know what? You never did tell me the tuna fish joke.
Yeah,
well, that's for another time. And then they get on the plane and they go.
Oh man, what a great
Paris or anything. It's going to be great.
Good job, Ryan. That's going to be great.
Ryan will never know.
Oh, now I get it. Now the show is good.
So
no, I shouldn't say that. It's not objective. Now I have an appreciation for this show that I previously did not have appreciation for.
Well done.
It's all on me.
355 met up with another agent from the Culper Ring.
Or did she? Do we believe she's an agent?
I do, yeah.
It's the only thing that I've cared about so far. Do we think she's an agent?
Yeah, I think so, because it's that classic idea of the people having similar training. I don't know how often this pops up, but when they have the exact same fighting style because they've had the same training.
But then the thing that was like, when did you get there? The same time you did, that I don't know yet. Like it seemed like she was not giving very solid, but every once in a while she was like, oh, what happened to your 10:30? And it's like, well, she knew enough what a 10:30 was to give it a response. But I also felt like all the answers she was giving were not like independently verifiable information. Like it was just like, what were you doing there? Probably something similar to what you were doing. Why don't you explain what that is so I can confirm that? Yes, right. That was me too, but in Tennessee.
One of my favorite things, it doesn't really have anything to do with this episode, but it reminds me of when someone hands another person a gun in a movie and asks, do you know how to use one of these?
Right.
And they slide the magazine out, put it back in, pull the chamber back, put the safety on, look at it a couple of times and say, put it back down and say, yeah. I want that scene played out in a movie where the person goes through all the motions, and when they set the gun back down on the table, it falls apart. And they say, no.
Hey,
do you know how to use one of these? Clunk. No.
Fire, a goose falls from the sky.
Are they making a Naked Gun? I mean, are they making a Police Squad movie? Because I think that would be perfect.
They should. Based on solely on that joke, they'll greenlight it a new one.
Yeah. I think the thing, Ryan, is this 525 agent, I think it's just easier to assume that she is an agent because what you're saying is true. But
Especially
who would that person be? Who would that person be if they were just going to try to bowl over?
Or in a more competent show, they would just flip the dialogue. I'm sorry. In a show that I appreciate more, they would just flip the dialogue so that like they could gain each other's trust because she was just like, yeah, I'm a top. Like there was enough. And maybe that's one of the things that's going to pay off. And again, because I don't have any suspension of disbelief. I'm going to tell him, but it's just like, she's not saying the things that I would want to hear to confirm that.
Right.
Like, think of in your job or whatever, you know, your thing is like, oh, you're a sweeper too. When did you start? Oh, around the same time you started. How was orientation? Man, vague answer. Why don't you tell me about your experience? Like anything, okay. I would walk away from that interaction thinking like, that person's never had to handle a pan and broom in their life. They've never even seen a code V.
I get what you say, but honestly, though, like who else could she be? She's not going to be counter espionage, you know.
There's apparently a weird faction of good people or whatever that she could be posing as. Like, because there was that lady who had, like, the water bottle on her face and she was squeezing milk into her eyes.
Oh, yeah. Those were the protesters. As the army referred to them, the rioters.
I get it.
York went and helped there in his mask, the only one. But actually, for once, it was justified because these people were getting tear gassed, right?
Right. Yeah.
So maybe they thought, hey, look, she's got a mask. Good for her.
Why
are they getting tear gas?
Tell them that it's human nature.
I'm not saying that you need like tear gas for like, you know, for any reason other than making people sad, protesters sad. But yeah. but why are you using up any sort of resources?
They're protecting the justification they gave is that they're protecting the historical artifacts that are inside Hartford. Apparently, like paintings and art and such, library.
Because of
Vandalism? This is going to turn into like a National Treasure crossover.
I hope, but yeah, from vandalism. But like on the other side of that equation, what would the rioters gain from vandalizing Harvard?
Why even bring this up in the show?
Unless we're supposed to, because these two factions, everything's going to be decentralized. I would think.
But why do we need to see this weird divide in Boston when we already seen a different divide in DC? Like, I don't understand why even open this thread. It doesn't need to be opened. Why don't we follow the characters and their motivation?
Right.
The background stuff doesn't matter.
It doesn't. But I think I talked about this on when we were watching Sweet Tooth is one interesting thing I enjoy about the post-apocalyptic sort of thing is you'll find different, they'll go to different communities where people have handled it different ways.
Right.
So you might have the protesters here in Boston and then like next time we'll have people that are just working on a communal farm and everyone's cooperating. And then next time everyone will be dead because they all killed each other.
It sounds like Walking Dead.
Yes, it does. That happened a lot in Walking Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave up on that show.
I only watched the first season.
Yeah.
But that's because I read the book. That's actually a thing. I read the book before it came out, and I very much enjoyed the book. But I don't understand the show.
Mm.
So we've been doing this for about close to 50 minutes now. I guess we started a little bit late today. How do you want to move forward?
You want to do it?
Because, well, one of the things I said was, because I'm also thinking about this from entertainment value. I don't really know how many listeners we have anymore, but it's just like, God, like, who would want to tune into this show? Like, I know we're great people. Like, I know we're great guys. But I mean,
well, yeah.
Who would want to listen to us be miserable for another, like, there's well, something the thing, like that. So I threw out the past couple of weeks and then offline we talked about text, like, well, do we want to double up the episode so in an hour we am two and then we'll get it over with quicker and all this sort of stuff and have more things to talk about the show? And Ralph, what was your response to that?
So Kirk Francis, who we've mentioned before, I know listens to the show, has dropped off from the television show, but has been enjoying hearing our episodes.
Okay.
Our friend James Sefner has been very fun with listening to our show, watching why, and then sending us shit based on what we say. So he's being entertained.
James, can we throw out their Twitter handle so that they can get some heat too? Or
yeah. And then James, my co-host on Live Action Star Wars and Invincipod, also is listening to the show and stuff. It's I think the thing that sucks is that, like, the way Darmalars works is we like to have fun poking holes and making fun of things and making stupid observations that normally don't get noticed. We're called Darmalars based on a box of Dharma Initiative Malamars in an episode of Lost.
Right. Like, that's minutia. Just
it's stupid. It's minutia. It's a weird, funny thing that we noticed.
No one else. No one should have seen it.
Up until this episode, we've been doing that with Why the Last Man. The show's not great, but there's still room to discuss it and theorize and poke fun at it. But now there is a showrunner who thinks that I'm not getting it. And so this episode has been less poking fun and more trying to explain myself.
Uh-huh.
And also poking holes in a show, but not in the fun way. Like, I didn't say, hey, what, like, did you notice that the flyers on the wall just said hoax?
That's so you know. That's so you know that other people out there think it's a hoax.
I don't get it.
By writing the word hoax.
What's a hoax? That's so you know. Are the men all still alive somewhere?
It's a subtle little breadcrumb that I put out for you.
It reminds me. It reminds me of the SNL sketch. It reminds me of the SNL sketch where the teenagers are putting on a school play, but instead of a play, they put on this. They're shining a light on society.
Yes.
And listen, I guess some people need to have this stuff hammered, you know, into their brains, but I don't. So putting up signs that say hoax or talking about anti-vaxxing, I already understand that is an issue. I don't need to see it in the show. And like I said, you haven't seen Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Right.
It's got subtle social commentary in it. That's really well done. And then at the end, they hammer it in your brain and it's like, I was good up until that point with this show.
But
I feel like they've been hammering it in my brain nonstop. And I'm like, I already get it. Right. I understand the stakes. I already understand the point of view of Amber Tamblyn's character, of Diane Lane's character. I understand the point of view of the character Nora. I understand all these point of view already. Let's explore that and expand and move these characters forward and see how they survive. I don't want to be in episode 4 and have Nora just deciding to bury the bodies.
Right.
If you're going to skip 63 days, let's move these characters along.
It's funny. There's a contrast because a lot happened that we always ask, you know, how could all of this happen in that amount of time? But then not enough happened as well. It's the same thing where, like you said, the bodies have been out there the entire time. Yeah. I hear you.
So, what do you want to do? are we moving forward? Are we doing one episode a week? Are we giving up on this?
Well, I think what Ralph was maybe getting to, and I'm sorry for putting words in your mouth, but you were talking about all the people that listen to the show. So it made me think that you maybe wanted to keep doing it for them.
I think it's we're halfway through.
Yay.
Which is here's, there's two lines of thinking. One, awesome, we're almost done.
Right.
On the second hand, it's also, we're kind of haven't really learned anything in the first half. How is it going to turn around in the second half? It's almost the opposite of Sweet Tooth, where Sweet Tooth, we're like, shit, there's only 3 episodes left. I hope we get the rest of the story.
Right.
And thank God there's going to be a season 2. And I look forward to talking about season 2, but I don't know about the rest of this one. I feel like I can do it. I know I can do it. And I would like to be able to do it by just being the Darmalars.
Okay.
and not have like serious conversations. I'm fine moving forward. It's 5 more episodes, which we'll do 1 a week. Okay. Sorry, Ryan. But I'm thinking, let's just do it. We set out to finish it. We'll do it. We'll get them all out. But we'll treat it like if the show is dumb, we treat it like it's a dumb show and we just keep moving forward. If we find stuff that's interesting, we discuss that. Cause I feel like up until this episode, I think our episodes have been pretty lighthearted and kind of fun, and picking the holes have been fun. I think the tweet that's calling me out on not liking the show put a little damper on me. Which I think shows this episode. It's not as many yucks, but I think we can just let's just finish it out. I feel like we let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's keep moving forward. But
I'm into it. Yeah,
I would love to get like this crazy twist in the last episode that aligns everything and justifies everything and makes not even twist a revelation or the story builds up and there's a conclusion that makes all of this satisfactory. And like, I would love to walk away with this and say like, oh my gosh, the show did what no other show had done before. It was brilliant in its storytelling. And here it seemed like it was inept, but really it wasn't. It was just a stroke of genius. And it was all because when President Steve comes back from the dead and I don't know, and atop a majestic lion descending from the hills to, I don't know.
That's pretty badass.
I feel like there's some negotiation though. If we do this, if I have to watch these episodes, whatever our next incarnation of the show, not necessarily the focus of the show, but there needs to be a devoted chunk with bumpers where we talk about Peter Jackson's Get Back, because that is the series that I am most excited about.
It's a series. I thought it was a movie.
It's a series and it's, have you seen the trailer?
No.
It is.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
It's history. It's shit that's so known. And they turned arguably one of the darkest points in the Beatles history into a compelling television. Like, I wonder how this is going to turn out. And I know.
How many episodes is there?
3 2-hour episodes, 6 hours of entertainment. Wow, and it looks amazing.
Okay.
Watch the trailer. Watch the trailer that was released this past week.
Right. Just look at
whatever we do. We could get together to talk about, I don't know, whatever show we're getting, Hawkeye or whatever. But I want
you I want, really keep I, pushing I for Hawkeye.
He's pushing you Hawkeye,
Hawkeye I'm just, several
it's
times.
It's the only fucking show that I know that's coming out next. I don't know what else is.
It does every time.
Going to be appointment television. But whatever the show is, I want Ryan's corner for enduring these next episodes. I want like whatever it is.
This is your quid pro quo. Okay.
Yeah, this is it. I'm negotiating. I could
you said there was room. You said there was room for negotiation. So if you're saying if we finish this, we should talk about that.
Oh, so are you gonna fucking bone out on the last episode and be like, oh, you would never finish?
Oh,
it,
we didn't
so.
Finish.
No. I'm bringing up negotiations because I have a demand.
Okay.
What's your domain?
Since the Darmalars have come back, there's a television show that I very much enjoy that Ryan has, or that Ben has been watching and seems to enjoy. And you've offered much resistance to this show.
Me?
He's going to say he's never heard of it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Kirk Francis blasted through all 20 episodes, both seasons, in like
of what?
3 days.
Of what show?
It's a show called The Detroiters. Here it goes.
Is it about the Pistons?
Classic bit.
Yep, there it is. You're gonna make me choke. I'm gonna die now. I'm
gonna drink some
McDonald's iced tea. It's,
I'm
just saying, if you watch all the Detroiters,
sure,
all 20 half hour episodes, I will watch that trailer for that Beatles thing.
Okay, that's so disproportionate. That's very fucking uneven. Horseshit. Super horseshit. How about this? Okay. I will watch one episode.
Okay.
22 minutes?
Sure. Approximately.
It's a 3-minute trailer that makes something that was previously depressing and stupid and things that Beatle fans don't like into something amazing. And like literally the trailer is like, I wonder if they're going to pull off this thing. This thing that's been in existence that we've known about for 50 years. It looks great.
I'll watch the trailer.
Oh, good for you. Okay, great. I'm glad we come to that.
Yeah, no one was negotiating for me.
Whose fault is that? Again. God, that's not my fault. You guys, stick up for yourself, stupid.
My throat is dry.
Good point.
Get confident, stupid.
get back, moron.
I've got a couple of Darmalar style things from this episode. If you wanted,
we're here.
So why was there laundry in the women's restroom, and could they not use the men's restroom?
They should use both. You're right. And actually, my question was, why was it inside? But I guess it's like, I don't live in Washington D.C. Maybe you can't put your wet clothes outside. Maybe they'll turn to ice.
But don't put your clean clothes where you shit. Put it in that room full of dead bodies.
There's so many offices. There's corridors. You can put the laundry anywhere.
There's alcoves.
Did you see what York stole from the printing press?
Bullets?
An ampersand. He took the ampersand block from the printing press.
Because that's his thing.
That's his monkey. He's gonna feed it to ampersand.
Oh, can we talk about stealing things?
Yes.
Sure.
Is Amber Tamblyn making a preschool? What is she doing?
She must be a klepto. We saw her take those crayons and we speculated about whether she was going to use them for trading. But then looking at the contents of her purse, I think she just picks up anything she sees.
But it's all kid stuff. Like it's all. Is it showing the grief from her kids?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. Yeah. And it's manifesting in this klepto way, which we see the kleptomania, at least in TV shows, with rich people. You know, it's not people that can't afford things that they're not stealing a loaf of bread. They're doing it to assert control, I think. Mm-hmm. And she has none of that right now. She lost her whole gig and her kids that she was so totally in love with. So, yeah, it's totally about grief.
I did like the line, are you trying to blackmail me? Or this is not the best time to blackmail me.
That was great.
It sticks
out like a sore thumb when the good stuff happens, right? Like, that was a great line.
Yeah.
I like that Dr. Mann has whatever disease Jonah Hill had in Superbad, where she just can't stop drawing dicks.
Yeah.
All the artwork. You know what we didn't talk about is how 355 broke her sat phone and made up orders.
Yeah.
I feel like
she's rogue.
She's gone rogue. Something's amiss. Both she and 525 were talking about her. This her that was going to be at that safe house, apparently. And instead of waiting around for her, whoever she might be, 355 activates a beacon, grabs some sort of cylinder of something, breaks her sat phone, and says to Y, yeah, let's go to San Francisco. I've got orders. It's cool. We're not shown yet why she's doing all this, but that's interesting to me. That's a potential for a storyline.
Yeah.
I thought it was setting up for the transition of the presidency and that she's not going to be beholden to the president. She's going to be beholden to the mission.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I was anticipating because if the secretary ends up becoming president, then 355 reports to her and it's sort of like that that scene in Aladdin when Jafar becomes the Sultan.
And then
poor Robin Williams, he's got like the forlorn look, but he has to do it because he's a genie, right?
He's a genie.
I think it's setting up for that not to happen. So it's just like, no, I gotta get this guy to San Francisco, I gotta get myself Red Bull, some Ghirardelli chocolate.
Yep.
You know. Visit the Walt Disney Family Museum. I heard it's good. They've got a
Quite Tower.
That's good. Yeah. Quite Tower. Cable car, rice and roni. They're gonna have a great time.
She's a butt plug.
I followed the logic.
Too, but I don't think everybody will. I don't know how that's gonna read.
It's two Matt Dillon lines from Something About Mary.
That's right.
Where he said that Mary moved to Florida to work for rice and roni. And Ben Stiller says, I thought that was a San Francisco treat. And then later, when he finds out that Mary's attractive and he likes her, he tells Ben Stiller, he says, oh, I thought you said she was a spark plug.
Spark plug.
And he said, no, I meant butt plug. She's heinous. which is so good. I love that line. I meant look, butt. I meant butt plug.
I meant butt plug. Shane, I don't understand. I don't really understand being a conservative / Republican in the real world. You know, that's I do my best. Yeah. I empathize, but I do not understand what they would have to fight for in this particular situation. They lost their single issue vote. There's no more pro-choice or pro-life, so they can't bang on that drum anymore. They can't be fighting for small government. The government's at least half its size, probably less.
Probably less. A third. Like, what's the right now? What's the ratio of women and government?
It's power. Exactly. It's power and greed, and I don't know.
It just seems like a strange banner to rally under during the circumstances.
Should be more about survival and less about just shooting guns everywhere.
Right. Yeah, people suck, and that you know this show.
And one of the things that was mentioned in the tweet that was responded to me was that this is how women would actually act, and I just don't buy it. I don't.
I think real world again. The odds would be overwhelming. The devastation would be incalculable. But like, I feel like people would have their shit together more.
The sad thing is, I think you're wrong. I know that we all think it. We all talked about it last week about how there would be ad hoc and. But honestly, I am not a huge fan of humanity. I don't have a lot of faith in it. I would love to be proved wrong,
but I also feel like there would be enough. Again, why are we? If we're going down this path.
Yeah,
we could.
You're right.
My only thing, and I said it before. If this is a year later, 5 years later, fine. Yeah. My brain could be like things got bad, but 2 months. 2 months, really?
That's sad. That makes this like one of the most tragic shows.
But she did mention in her tweet that
it's like, oh, sorry.
She did mention in the tweet that this shines a light on what America is. She said that the bullets, the showrunner said that, you know, everyone having guns and not food is a commentary on what's happening in our country.
I guess that's probably real because all the people that have guns now already have them and a whole bunch of bullets. And they only have... You know, one refrigerator and one pantry full of
one
food.
Loaf of bread.
But there's 50% and there's canned goods and shit doesn't expire and MREs and all this sort. Like,
sure,
I don't
sure.
want like, I get that. It's,
but it's, I mean, it's Missy like Pyle has a Costco.
Like,
right?
It's been whatever it is in Waterworld. It's been 500 years and we've evolved gills. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Like, just one person involved.
We have
only
bullets,
the Mariner,
but no food because America.
Like, America.
But I mean, even Waterworld, they had cigarettes.
Yeah, that was stupid.
That's why they're called the smokers. And yes. The Mariner's the only one that had gills. He was like a mutant due to some sort of issue with the water rising.
So real quick, do we want to pivot so this is a Waterworld podcast, so we could do like the movie 1 week, and then we could do the stunt show at Universal Studios the next week, and then what? And then maybe the Postman. Maybe we can pivot to the Postman after that. Another post-apocalyptic Kevin Costner film. Maybe let's just do Kevin Costner movies.
Listen,
let's just do that.
Ryan, you're making Ben excited because it's post-apocalyptic.
Visibly, please stop. Put that away.
No, I won't. I'm going to say something that I know you guys should know, or at least have known at one point, but you're probably going to be surprised. Oh. I've never seen Waterworld.
Oh.
That's okay.
You're okay. Fine.
But I did see The Postman, and I actually read The Postman.
Spoilers on Waterworld.
I've only seen the sequel. The Postman always rings twice.
I think that Dr. Mann, and I don't know if I'm just getting this from my knowledge of the comics, but I feel like she must have an ulterior motive. Because like you said, it doesn't make too much sense, her argument for going to San Francisco. She has an argument, and it has pieces, but it doesn't necessarily seem all that strong, and it makes me think that there's something else going on. Especially,
but is it any less strong than any other motivation in the show?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I don't know. That's something I'm putting out there. I think that she's got something else going on.
I feel like that's a possibility.
And then the one last thing for my notes that I wanted to mention is President Diane Lane.
her name, character name, that's correct.
Is too good at portraying an anxiety attack. As someone who has been in the vicinity of someone experiencing one of those, it was jarring. I had feelings.
I feel like her and Amber Tamblyn are putting in the best performances.
Yes.
And it's totally. That's tough. It's a tough watch because their scenes seem very real.
Mm-hmm.
When they're at the board meeting and they're holding hands under the table, hearing the news about the helicopters and stuff. It's all feels very, very dire, and it's great. Then crash cut to Yorick talking about
Steven Weber
jokes and, and then they say that she got in contact with her mom. She said hi or whatever, which is, you know, whatever. It feels like two different things happening, two different shows.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say, I agree with you that Amber Tamblyn and now that I have to think of her real name, I can't think of her name, Diane Lane, Jesus Christ, are giving good performances. And I don't know if this is because I equate Amber Tamblyn's character so much with Meghan McCain, and that she's such a caricature, like of a
that's a pretty good
of
analog
of a human. Yeah, so like when you, to your point, Ben, this very real, raw, and emotional thing, and this person who seems to be modeled off this real life person who is all about the facade and all about like this fake righteousness and everything like that. Even that scene, even though those are they're the two best performances in the show, I think. They still don't entirely like mesh with each other. They don't like it's still the it. It almost feels, especially the scenes in Boston, like because of COVID, did they film them all separately and just digitally put them together in the same room? And that's why everything seems like way off and not like that's how bad it seems to me, or how I shouldn't say bad. I should say how mismatched performances are, in my opinion, that I don't appreciate
on this show.
On the show, it's not the show. The show is the show, and I am me.
That's right.
And we just disagree. That's it. There ain't no good guys.
In the words of the great Richard B. Riddick, not for me. Not for me.
Ooh. Dramatic retelling.
Are we done? Can we wrap this
up? Yeah, let's wrap this up. Listen, we'll be back next week. We're gonna base the show once again on its merits. And if we think things are funny in it, we'll shine a spotlight on the funny things.
We'll speculate about what we think is gonna happen. We'll talk about characters, you know. Have some laughs.
We're halfway there, guys.
Get some coffee.
More than halfway. Right?
That's right.
We have four episodes? Six?
No.
Seven, eight, nine.
It's five. We have five. The next one is Weird Al is Dead.
Oh.
Oh, that's good.
So we can look forward to a brief moment of just hearing Weird Al's name.
I want wall-to-wall Weird Al music. Like, even like playing faintly in the background, like during like a very tense, like Oval Office scene or something like that, like war room scene, like where Yoda is playing in the background or Dare to Be Stupid or something. Like it's just constantly a threat, or like the instrumental version of
Beat It, which would also
be the instrumental version of Beat It too.
I hope that Yorick actually gets stuck in a closet with Vanna White.
Now that's got a possibility. You know, I gotta say, Weird Al is a fantastic musician.
Sure.
You know, he does the parody songs where he just has to copy the song and come up with silly lyrics, and some of those are maybe not as cerebral as you would like. But then he does the style parodies
which turns it on its head.
And then he does his original songs, and some of those are just fantastic.
I like those.
And he,
I'm pro Weird Al.
Who isn't? American treasure.
That's right.
Worldwide treasure.
National treasure.
National treasure. That's it. Oh, we just fucking pieced it all together. They're going to find Weird Al in Boston.
He's saving the Declaration of Independence.
They're protecting him.
Yeah, that's right. We're not Weird Al hunters. We're Weird Al protectors.
That would make the show infinitely better for me. That would flip it on.
Weird Al was the last man?
All the clues were there.
It should be W, the last man.
Hoax? They weren't talking about the hoax. It was his next, it was forthcoming album that was due to be released just before All the Men disappeared.
Locks.
That's really what it was. All the breadcrumb trails were right there for Weird Al.
Well, I got 2 weeks at the Chuckle Hut coming up.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Is there
I'd like to thank our sponsors.
Or,
McDonald's.
Casper mattresses. Yeah. Oh, yeah. McDonald's, yeah.
And
why the last man?
Why?
Tell them that's human nature.
All right, guys.
We're out of here. Until next time.
Until next time.
MIC.
Oh, wait. I have to do the... Wait, hold on.
See you later, trash cans.
Recording stopped.
K-E-Y.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Why?
Because
we last man.
All right. God damn it. Hi, James and Kirk and the other James. Thanks
Anyone
for listening all the
Hi.
Way through.
Yeah.
I'm glad they listen all the way through. Ryan doesn't listen all the way through because at the end of every episode, I put in something that's going to spark his...
I don't listen. Because it's like Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Why would I don't have to listen to it? I lived it. Like
I listen because I want to remember what I said, so I don't like repeat myself or stuff like that. You know, and also, it's fun to listen to the show.
I used to listen to Dharmalars, and then I realized it's like, oh, this is like a fucking ego trip. I'm taking time out to listen to something that I said 3 days ago.
I mean, absolutely, it's sort
how of awesome. I was.
You've sort of like. Avoided my traps because like I'm like I wonder if Ryan listens to these all the way through, so I'll usually end with the song like some shitty Beatles cover I did. Of course Monty Norman was at the end of one episode.
I hope that doesn't offend you. Like I remember
no
I
it doesn't
listen to Dharmalars because there was production things I wanted to hear, like is it mixed correctly, what can we do better and stuff like that, but it's like
oh no, it'll never get better.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's just a game for me because I'm like it's like I'm gonna put this in because if I do, I will know if Ryan listens or not.
Like a trap.
Now that you've tipped me off, I will go and I'll listen to like.
Oh, just this is the last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I listen to the show and I admit you're right, Ryan. You're right. It is. It's totally egotistical of me.
Well, I listen to it too. And the reason why I do is because while we're talking, I tend to just like my brain kind of just is spent gathering thoughts and trying to get those thoughts out. They don't actually like think about what I say. So it's fun to listen to it because I can refer to stuff I said on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like, oh, remember back in episode 2, I said this. So it kind of is a reminder of it's a better recap of the previous episode.
Right.
Than watching it.
So, yeah, I gotcha. So does it disappoint you that I don't listen?
No. Uh-oh. I just think it's funny. It was literally just a thing for me to be like, I'm going to put these in for Ryan. We'll see if he notices. Last week I watched the episode without Stevie. So this week she was watching it with me and I said, oh, I'll leave on the previously on Why the Last Man so you can catch up. And literally nothing from last week was in the previously on Why the Last Man.
Oh boy. That's funny.
So that shows you how important that is. You have 10 episodes to do something.
But I also feel like that happens on a lot of shows too. So it's like, okay, we're picking up on this storyline that we haven't addressed in 2 episodes. I think that's fine, but also
Lost did that. Like I remember we would say instead of previously pertinently on Lost,
right?
And it would always be ridiculous because it would be like
It's a Kate episode. Why are they showing on the previous Yale Island Lost? Why are they showing Cassidy?
Yeah, exactly. It would be too much of a tell of what was going to happen in the episode. I don't like it.
Well, let's get out of here. I got all right. Go
Saturday's
no,
okay.
No, one more. What were you gonna say?
Oh, fuck! I don't know, man. It's not important.
honest to God, watch the Peter Jackson trailer. Compelling. Actually compelling. Like
watch Detroiters. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
I will eventually.
It's just as funny as I Think You Should Leave, in my opinion.
But that's the thing. I've only, like, every time I watch I Think You Should Leave, I fall asleep every single time. Not because it's bad or anything. I love every second, but I fall asleep, and then I wake up, and then I'm like, okay.
Time to watch it.
I Think You Should Leave again. And then I start watching. It's like, oh my God, I forgot how fucking funny the show is and all this stuff. And then I get to the point where it would be new material, and I'm fucking asleep again. every single time. I'm still fucking exhausted because I'm a single parent working from home, and it takes every single ounce of energy I have to make it through the day and not live in squalor and shit like that. As flies are buzzing around my head.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a train fly that I use for dramatic purposes.
Well, it worked.
When I say squalor, you show up, okay?
When I say squalor, you say buzz. Squalor. Okay. I got to get going. I'll watch that trailer after.
Saturday.
It's Peter Jackson. It's super good. It's Peter Jackson. Don't think about the Beatles, even though it's the Beatles. Peter Jackson.
Just real quick, guys. Are we going to do Saturdays?
Yes.
Yes.
At like 9-ish, 9:05?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you. That makes it a lot easier for me.
We're good. We got you. We're on the same. We got you.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right.
Goodbye. See you
guys. Have a good day.
Oh, did you do the thing?
Oompa, loompa, doompa dee doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, loompa, doompa da dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
You'll get no commercials.
Oompa, loompa, doompa dee da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa, Oompa, Loompa.